Trade PMR offers to support the growth that RIAs deserve. Whether you're looking to add an additional custodial services provider or make the switch to a new one, Trade PMR offers advisors access to dedicated team members. So when you need help, you know exactly who to call. Trade PMR, member of FINRA and SIPC. Welcome to the Wealthstack Podcast. I'm your host, Shannon Rosick, the director of Wealthstack Content and Solutions. In this episode, I'm joined by Urs Bolt, a fintech and regtech expert. He has a much longer title, but I will let him go into that here in a little bit. But for today's topic, we're going to dive into how to go from a wealth advisor to a wealth coach. Urs, I've been a longtime fan of your work, especially in the fintech space. So really been looking forward to this conversation. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you, Shen. It's a pleasure. I think it's long overdue.
I would have to agree. Yeah.
So basically, yeah, I mean, I'm very much focusing on the wealth technology, wealth tech in the last few years. And also I basically found again my passion for financial education, literacy. And so I also became active last year as a financial coach. And while digging more into what's the change driving this for myself, but also what I see general as a big advice gap is personalized coaching, but also utilizing the technology available. And obviously, as we all know, and we will do a deep dive into this, with this ChatGPT wave coming now for 1.5 years almost, it just became so much easier to use this and create personalized advice, content, etc. And last year and early this year, even more tools came up with a lot, which creates a lot of help for me producing what I believe I need as a foundation to be a financial coach and mentor, but also to really use that as a person, not just as an institution or bank. So this was really fascinating in the last few years to observe and also to experience myself.
Oh, I'm sure. And like you said, we're going to take a deep dive into all this, but I did want to set the stage first. So before we dive into the first segment, I want to start with your background. You've been in this space for 30 plus years and have had just an incredible career trajectory. So I always joke that the hardest question you'll answer with me is telling me about your background and what makes you ultimately you and how you've been so successful in this space for so long.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep it short, but I had a very, let's say, colorful career in a way. So I basically started after my apprenticeship, got into banking. Then after like 8 years or so, I got into the technology vendor space. So I know basically banking from the front lines, from the trading floors, trading FX, OTC derivatives, like interest rate swaps. So basically all cash flow based products, mostly OTC. But then I got into technology as a called application consultant at the time. So basically applied my business knowledge to technology. So I realized it's really fascinating when you can build a bridge to the engineers, to the software developers. And this fascination never left me. So in the beginning, it was more like project-driven. Also built up a subsidiary company of a tech firm from a Luxembourg software company in risk management, wealth management, data warehousing, data integration. And then after like 8 other years, I went back into banking, to UBS in investment banking, rolled out global programs, then got into wealth management. So really deep into the understanding how wealth advisors work by coaching them, advisory force effectiveness programs, was myself in the front advising key clients. And then the financial crisis obviously hit, and that was quite a big change for many people. For me, it was basically I moved over to Credit Suisse at the end of 2009, was in London, had the opportunity to work there to help rolling out another business platform, Prime Services. And then after 8 years at Credit Suisse, I left. There was the time when blockchain, digital assets, or let's call it the ICOs came in, you know, initial coin offerings. That was quite interesting coming from the traditional finance into that area. I had some advisor roles and other projects. And then I got back onto the tech side again as a product manager for digital banking. And last year, I basically was with a neobank in digital private bank. So it's definitely quite some changes. But what drove me all the time was the love on and for rolling out digital platforms, developing them, rolling them out, and also applying my know-how to the people who need it, whether they're firms or individuals. And that's where we are today. And in the last few months, as you probably have seen, I started to position myself in as a financial coach and mentor, because I see a huge opportunity there in these times of change in terms of geopolitics, economical change, but also technology is now available for literally everyone.
Well, I don't know how you get it all done because it is truly impressive. And as you alluded to, you actually recently launched Bolt Money. So talk to me a little bit about that business venture and why now was the right time to do that.
Yeah, obviously I have a great name in a way that I can use it as a
It
brand. So
is
Bolt
a good
Money
name.
is interesting. And I just noticed on Google Maps that I'm not sure why it is. It's obviously Bolt technology out there, the Bolt scooters. And it seems like someone looked my name up and maybe saw Bolt Money. So Bolt Money is basically the first life sign for me as a financial coach and mentor. I really want to focus on expatriates who go overseas, live in Asia. So I have a passion for the Philippines. My partner is from there, so I will ultimately move there. So I'm looking at that because that's something where banks really struggle to advise them, and they need independent advice because they're often in different jurisdictions. And with Bolt now, I'm also offering or working with experts and young talents together to work on financial literacy programs. And that's about one website which you might see the landing page so far. It's not much more, is simplemoney.ph. So Simple Money Philippines, because I realized there is a huge need for financial literacy. And what I see is also what I experience personally is that my decades of experience are really appreciated in a country like the Philippines, which I sometimes miss here in the West, even though financial literacy is also a gap in our developed world, in the Western world. So it's not just there. But with Bolt Money, I focus more on individuals which have some, which are affluent, maybe high net worth individuals, and need personalized advice, coaching. Basically, so I'm not an investment manager or portfolio manager. That's not my goal for this. There are other people and offerings out in the market, but financial literacy is then basically for everyone. And of course, I can also offer a personalized coaching, etc., for those who want to buy a subscription or do it via remote channels.
Well, I certainly appreciate the background and context, but I want to dive into our first segment that I call Stats All Folks. And as you've mentioned, you really championed this idea of the role of the advisor that's shifting from, a wealth advisor to more of that wealth coach, as you said. And according to Cerulli, more than 70% of heirs are likely to fire or change financial advisors after inheriting their parents' wealth. So explain how this shift can ultimately mitigate situations like this and really define the difference between a coach and a manager.
Yeah, I mean, okay, you have a wealth manager. They might even be a portfolio manager. That's probably the traditional role of it, which I don't think is so common anymore. So you have specialized functions doing the portfolio and asset management. But the classic wealth advisor with traditional firms is basically with these huge compliance and regulatory restrictions, very limited. So the problem is really only either the very big firms who can give you a broad, let's say, set of services and also solutions in terms of that. But then the banks in the mid-size, they're really limited. And I see that especially also in Switzerland with cross-border regulations. It's not only for Switzerland, but for the countries too. It's a huge effort to offer such advice. So from a wealth advisor to a financial coach, I see that especially interesting opportunity for independent advisors, which are either RIAs, so regulated investment advisors, and they exist also in Switzerland, in all other markets. But then you also have the people who are independent and help the customer either by giving them second opinions or that they really learn how to navigate through the complexity with financial matters. Is it investing? Is it budgeting, etc.? Other financial matters. It could go into the direction of tax, etc. And then you draw in experts where they need it, and you help the customer to help himself. So it's really targeted towards the people who somehow have a feeling they lost control and they want to regain control. And I think that's something which is very difficult when you into an existing structured traditional bank, because you're very restricted and you follow the procedures. But as you obviously will talk about, with the new technologies, you can really get out of this. And I think also in traditional firms, this kind of mentoring coaching will become much more popular.
Well, speaking of technology, then we have to talk about it. What's AI's role when it comes to becoming a wealth coach then?
Yeah, obviously we had AI for decades already, and it was used in investment management successfully for many years, more algorithmic, right? So it's different. But what recently in the last 1.5 years since ChatGPT, which was released by OpenAI, came into place, it really was like an avalanche of change coming. Because suddenly people realized, like when Google search arrived and other search engines, but Google at the end became the dominating force, it suddenly everyone can use it. Everyone can use ChatGPT, even in a free version. They can subscribe to it. And now you have a lot of alternatives already. So this is making a huge change. And I see that also that many banks already rolled out such programs for whole advisor force staff of hundreds, if not thousands, of advisors within less than a year, 7 to 8 months. And before it was like when I was younger in the data warehousing space, you know, it took almost years until you built up the whole database, the structure, data models, implemented everything, cleaned out the data. So those who did all this work before and are able to use the data, they have now a huge advantage because they can immediately apply these large language models and generative AI tools and help the advisors with either already pre-formulated prompts, etc. So that's the term prompt engineering, which became popular because you need to know how to ask, but basically everyone can do it by himself. Is he a little bit talented? You know, I'm not a programmer or a software developer, but it seems like it never was that easy to make sense of a flood of information than today. And still you have to be, of course, careful how you use it and that it is in a framework which is also compliant with regulation.
On behalf of wealthmanagement.com, we invite you to join us on May 13th through 16th at Hollywood, Florida for WealthStack, part of Wealth Management Edge. Our agenda is designed to power a new generation of growth-oriented advisors with the latest innovations and trends in technology strategies. From captivating keynote speakers to interactive workshops, dedicated think tanks, a dynamic exhibit hall, and hands-on demonstrations of cutting-edge technologies, you'll leave with a deep understanding of how to accelerate growth at your practice. Use promo code PODCAST20 to save 20% off your registration. Visit wealthmanagementedge-event.com for more information.
And as someone who has watched the financial services industry really just change dramatically over the years, I have to ask you about broader technology trends and digital transformation, because according to recent research from Deloitte, 51% of financial advisors are thinking about leaving for an organization with better tech tools. And the alarming reality here is basically what they're saying is 50% of your staff and advisors could hand in their resignation tomorrow, all because they don't have access to the best technology tools and resources. So what's your take here? You know, what's the current landscape, especially in the context of the wealth management industry?
Yeah, I mean, this Deloitte study, I haven't read it myself. I'm not sure if it's focused on the US, but I mean, it's quite a shocking number. But as a matter of fact, you know, if you don't have the right tools to work, and you see in your private life, when you use your smartphone and you might have some other activities beside your job and just realize it's so easy and it's actually, and you can use it for yourself, you just raise your expectations when it comes to your workplace and what tools are given to you. So I would say that these people saying that, I would need to read the exact question asked. But of course, they are the organizations which deploy these technologies now. They are the go-to places. But there is a big group of banks who are laggards, and they will struggle probably to keep their best people who also want to use these tools and be more productive. Because at the end of the day, it's productivity gain, but it's also much better to personalize your advice you give to the customers. And at the end, that increases customer satisfaction. But let's not forget, it's also employee satisfaction, which increases. And this is then kind of the winning formula for the advisors, that they have satisfied customers. They give them relevant content, advice at the right time when it's needed, and they can get it in no time. I mean, I see examples now from large wealth managers in the world, one of the largest. You know, they reduce from, I don't know, 2 to 5 minutes, 10, 15 minutes. They get answers with large language models within 10 seconds. I mean, now imagine that. You basically get that answer. You can basically ad hoc in a customer discussion respond to the customer, and you can frame it into your customer dialogue. I mean, that's much more effective than it was before, when it took you so long. You were not able to do that within one session with the customer. So, I mean, this is a huge trend in wealth tech. But I would also say the geographical differences are huge. Or let's say, are we in a developed world? We have a very complex situation. So we need this technology to make sense of it and to remain productive. And on the other hand, we know now that thousands and tens of thousands of advisors need to be replaced in the next few years. And what you mentioned before with the generational change, which was already clear 10, 15 years ago when we coached our colleagues in the wealth advice in the front lines about it, you know, is how do you do succession planning, etc. Now what's coming on top of it is now the technological change. So it will be a much bigger shift than even anticipated before. And obviously, then the customers often want to have maybe different advisor. Maybe they want someone in their age group who better understands their views, their worldviews, their, you know, values. And I think that's where you also need to come up with organizational ways to cope with that. So maybe you have a veteran advisor. He has a younger person, which is, you know, after 5 years, if you do a good job, you're a senior advisor already, but you maybe work in tandems, etc. And at the same time, you deploy this technology, and the younger chap maybe has the opportunity to also help his veteran advisor, who might then even work, you know, until he's 70, because he's having fun to advise customers in a good way. Has the relationship with the older generation. And maybe this is the way, is one of the options to go forward.
And it's no secret that the needs of investors are becoming much more complex. And so advisors really ultimately need to add value and utilize technology to showcase that value. In fact, you know, one of the biggest trends that I've been following is around personalization. Obviously, another big headline in our industry, but it is continuing to drive innovation. So let's talk a little bit about personalized services and concepts like direct indexing, for example. So whether it's portfolio management, communication, holistic planning, or access to non-traditional services, the trend of the last few years towards offering personalized services has skyrocketed. But You know, things like direct indexing have actually lagged behind alternatives and impact investing. But do you think we're at a tipping point here? Is it becoming more democratized? What are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, personalized and direct indexing is trending. There, it's important to understand it's also the environment you're in, regulatory-wise, but also what is the customer situation. So it doesn't always make sense to use it, but of course, it's a great way to personalize your investment strategy and maybe also optimize the tax situation, etc. Here, I mean, in Switzerland, I don't see it used already that widespread. Me as an individual cannot use it so far. It's very popular when you have like managed accounts where you can apply these concepts. But then, and this is very important, obviously, when you are in the, let's say, the traditional environment for equities or listed equities, listed instruments, which you can index, where you have all the data available. But as we also saw, and you mentioned it, alternative investments, it's going much further. And I think customers now want to have a better handle on what is it all, what I'm invested in. There is real estate out there. There might be a piece of land somewhere else in another country. Then you want to do financial planning going forward. You might have kids which will study. So you need to make sure you are capable to support them financially, not only, but basically when it's about money management, you want to include that in your planning. So I think that's a big potential going forward. And also because of the increased stress in the system, you know, we have basically now recession in some countries, inflationary pressure as well. So many people have to rethink how they budget, how they manage their income streams, also from their jobs, from work, and then of course from investments. So it's this complexity which requires personalized advice and coaching by using and applying all these new tools which we have. So this is very important. When it's so complex, you need a trusted relationship. And the trusted relation, you know, the trusted advisor, coach, you know, he's important for a person to make decisions. I mean, we all know it. We know it from sports, but it's the same when it's about managing money or overcoming difficult situations in life. So I think this is, there's definitely a big need. And I think that's where experienced people with let's say, a talent for helping others and also step into their shoes can make a difference. And it's not just only technology, but with the technology which we already talked about, we can also be much more effective.
And sticking around that theme of personalization, you know, we've obviously had mutual funds, then ETFs and model portfolios, and now direct indexing with the push of a few buttons and a whole lot of advanced level thinking driving the machine. So my question, and we may not be able to answer this yet, but what's ultimately going to come after that in this long evolution towards more customized portfolios and tax management?
Yeah, as I said, these tools in the liquid space of investments in equity, that will become much more popular. But I think we will see also the integration of all the other assets which we are invested in, which become more popular, like private equity, like non-traditional investment forms. And I think that will then come together in new wealth technology platforms, apps, etc., which will help to also manage the asset allocation across the board. And that's also where the challenge is with, let's say, the regulatory environment for traditional wealth advisors, wealth managers, because they might not be able to give advice across the whole spectrum. But on the other hand, we will see as a service models which can be used also by independent wealth advisors and coaches to actually provide the help to the customers which have a need for that.
Appreciate you taking a deep dive with me. But it is actually now time for segment two of this episode, Urs, where that I call Ask Us Anything. And I have gone out to the social universe and asked them to submit questions they want answered by you. So let's see who's sliding into the inbox this week. We got a few questions that came in. They are all over the map, literally. And the first one that we had was, outside of the U.S. market, what trends are you seeing abroad when it comes to wealth tech, specifically Europe and Asia? I know this could be a whole separate episode, but what is your 60-second answer around that?
I mean, first of all, in Europe, you know, developed markets, I'm looking at Western Europe, I really see consolidation going on. I get often requests now talking about portfolio management technology plays, other wealth technologies where they try to understand how are they positioned in the market. So these are more the ones which might already have been growing and are not startups. In general, we have now a huge variety of wealth tech segments in Western Europe, but this will consolidate. I see big demand in wealth planning, financial planning, because of the points I mentioned about financial stress, other stress, etc., where there is a need to do that in a more structured way. And then obviously, together with the right advisor, financial planners, etc., financial coaches. So this is kind of an observation I see. Then the other one in Asia, I see we're just getting started. So robo-advisors, digital investing platforms. I'm not talking about Singapore, Hong Kong specifically, which are advanced economies. And of course, also not Japan, but in Southeast Asia, Philippines, Malaysia, Thailand, Indonesia, Vietnam, you know, it's just really started to have digital investing platforms, which also look at the customer, going through risk profiling, etc., and not just offering some brokerage accounts where you can do, you know, trading in small volumes. I see a huge opportunity there in the mass affluent space. Also, the, as I mentioned, financial literacy. Then, of course, in the advanced markets, it's as we already talked about, technology, they deploying now large language models, etc., generative AI. It's extremely fascinating what happened in 2023, and it's continuing to progress this year. So you really have to look at the different development cycles here.
Absolutely. And we had one more question for this segment. So shifting gears a little bit, and you know, as of today, crypto is rallying, but the question is, I'm a bit skeptical about the speed of crypto adoption by traditional financial institutions. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's again, it depends in which country you sit, in which regulatory environment. It's obviously, we have now ETFs, Bitcoin ETFs, which were approved in the States. In Europe, we don't have that. So they were approved, but you know, with ETFs, you're not really in a kind of libertarian spectrum anymore. Independent, you back into the system, which has obviously now the effect of Bitcoin going up because institutional investors are now going in with their might diversify the portfolios. Then on the other hand, in Switzerland, we have like 25 to 30 banks offering cryptocurrency investing because our regulatory environment is already in place for years and it will continuously be improved, which is interesting because we have, obviously, as you know, the crypto valley in Switzerland. We were one of the first. We have a lot of foundations which are used as the legal entity for blockchain technology, for a lot of protocols, which are having their headquarters in Switzerland, but with people working from all around the world on these protocols. But cryptocurrencies, the regulation in Europe is also quite clear. But in the US, it's not yet that clear. It's still kind of a debate, right, between the different regulatory bodies. The same in the UK. On the other hand, the United Arab Emirates, Dubai, Abu Dhabi, they're very advanced in this space. Then we also have clear regulation in other financial centers like Singapore, Hong Kong, And they all have a bit of a different dynamic, right? And then
But
there are some countries they ban it outright, yeah, but they probably have to catch up later. But people will, with crypto, you can basically choose your own regulatory environment. But of course, for the mainstream, it's important to have a secure, regulated environment, also to have investor protection in place.
Absolutely. And at minimum, I think we can agree it's not going anywhere, at least anytime soon. So, Urs, I appreciate you being put in the hot seat and answering those questions. But we have come to our final and my favorite segment that I affectionately call Stack It or Whack It. So indulge me here. I am going to throw out a few technologies, or sometimes it's just random ideas and thoughts, not necessarily WealthTech related. And you tell me if they are worth the hype or not. So essentially stack it if you love it or want to use it, or whack it, lose it, or you dislike it. So first one I have for you is hybrid service models. Are they the way of the future, or more work to be done there?
Yeah, I would say absolutely stack it. It's the way to go. It's the symbiosis of technology and human intelligence and obviously creativity, which still makes a difference. So this answer is very clear.
All right. Confident in a stack it for that. So number two, then, from what I understand, you're an eco-modernist and a pragmatist in favor of new energy policies that really balance economy and ecology. So we're seeing very rapid progress of clean energy technology. So let's talk electric vehicles. Stack or whack this trend?
Yeah, I'm rather personally on the wacky side, because I see there are alternatives in place for this. But what we need definitely to understand is whether we're electric or not, we need clean energy technology. But the higher the energy density, the better for the future, because don't forget, we need more energy and not less. And I think if we try to reduce energy consumption, it will also have an impact on the economy and at the end of the social welfare of everyone, of each of us. So and that's why I'm also clearly pro-nuclear, because that's the only way you can scale up the need in a power-hungry world. And let's not forget the emerging economies, China, India, Indonesia, you know, all huge countries, Philippines, they all have more than 100 million and even more than 1 billion people. And you cannot miss that out. But fortunately, in the last climate summit in Dubai, there was a big endorsement for nuclear technologies. And I'm a big fan of fourth generation thorium molten salt reactors and stuff like this, because that will help to increase productivity by AI as well, and a data-driven economy to power the digital transformation.
Okay, well, that's going to be a whole separate episode, because that's absolutely something that I would love to dive into with you as well. But Urs, it has been an absolute pleasure getting to know you. I took you all over the map with questions, so appreciate you answering everything that I threw at you. But feel free to tell listeners where they can find out more about you and your work and what you're up to.
Yeah, just follow me, type my name into Google, Urs Bolt. I'm on Twitter. I'm on literally almost every social platform, but mostly on Twitter and LinkedIn these days. But as I said, I'm also on Reddit. You find me on my website, bolt-money.com or simplemoney.ph, which is my other undertaking I'm working on in terms of financial literacy.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for that information. And be sure to like and subscribe to the WealthStack podcast on all major podcasting platforms, and follow all things WealthStack on wealthmanagement.com, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And if you want the in-person WealthStack experience, be sure to join me May 13th through 16th at the Diplomat in Hollywood, Florida, for Wealth Management Edge. Thank you all for tuning in. Trade PMR offers to support the growth that RIAs deserve. Whether you're looking to add an additional custodial services provider or make the switch to a new one, Trade PMR offers advisors access to dedicated team members, so when you need help, you know exactly who to call. Trade PMR, member of FINRA and SIPC.